We're going to be speaking to you this morning on the subject of how to hear from God. How to hear from God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. John chapter 10, verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And then skipping down to verse 16, of John chapter 10, St. John chapter 10, and other sheep, Jesus is speaking here, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And then verse 27, of John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. Then I just want to share briefly from Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Verse 1 mentions some men, some prophets and teachers. Verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, that is Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence, or from there, they sailed to Cyprus. The fact that a normal, average human being, like us, can hear God's voice, to me, is absolutely amazing. Yet, when we look at the scriptures and throughout all the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelations, God has been found speaking to men and women. It's as if he needs for us to listen to him. The reason God created us in the first place was so that he could have someone who had a free will, and he worshiped him and wanted to talk to him and have a relationship with him, not because they were created to be that way and had no choice, but because we as human beings were created where we would have a choice and we could choose that we wanted to hear God's voice and we wanted to have a relationship with him. We wanted Him to speak to us, and we wanted to be able to speak to Him. Amen? So I never cease to be amazed that God speaks to me and that I can hear His voice. That I can come into His presence and speak to Him, and that He hears my voice and He listens to me and very often answers me, frequently answers me. Sometimes it's no. That's an awesome thing. It should be an awesome thing to all of His children, every one of us. He created us a different. Man is different from animals because He wanted someone He could commune with. And man is a living soul, created that way, and spirit living in a... We are spirit beings. God is a spirit, as He told the woman at the well. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He put us in a tent, this body, referred to as a tent in the Scriptures. So that we could have a relationship with Him in the physical world. And so it is that as items of concern or interest or things that are happening in our lives, we want it, and in our church, as a pastor and operating a church, we're required to take the matter or whatever concerns us before God and to get an answer from Him, not from people. We can get together and discuss the situations that concern us, and that's okay, but what we want to really hear is what is God saying? What does He want us to do in these situations and circumstances? And oftentimes we have some questions about, well, why? How am I in this situation? What's going on here? What's God trying to teach me? The opinions of ideas and others, we have enough of those already. We need to hear from God. And I think we can all agree on that. Because God knows best. If we trust Him, if He's our Lord and our Savior, we know He knows best. Right? And so, how do we hear from God? There's basically two ways that we are taught and we're told, we're instructed. There's several means that these ways come, but there's basically two ways that we hear from God, and the first one is we hear from God through His written word. That's His Bible. If you want to hear from God, we need to get into the Word. And if we're not hearing from Him, it's because a lot of times we just are not reading or studying His Word as we ought to. 2 Timothy says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the word of God to all of us as believers. So, how do we hear from God? We hear by reading His Word. The second way is that we hear from God is by His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when we're born again, we become the habitation of God. Our bodies become the habitation of God, and how He inhabits us is by His Holy Spirit. And so His Holy Spirit there is the promise of God that when my son dies and is buried and resurrected again, He told His disciples, I'm going to be with you for right now. And their hearts were full of sorrow because He was about to leave. They didn't know exactly where He was going. They didn't know when He was going to be back. And so they were greatly concerned because they had been enjoying his presence for a long time. And they had been listening to his word. And they knew they were in the presence of God. And he had taught them how to pray and all of these things. So when he told them that I'm going to the cross and I'm going to die, they were shocked because that wasn't a part of their doctrine. That's not what they had heard, or that's not what they had expected. But he did tell them, don't be sad. Don't worry. I'm going to send you another comforter. Amen? Someone just like me. And he'll be with you, and he will not only be with you, he'll be in you. And you can have the same kind of relationship you're having with me right now in this physical body, and maybe even a better relationship, because he's going to be with you in the spirit, and you can have a great relationship with him. And just like you experience my presence and have joy and understand that you're in the Father's presence or in God's presence because I'm with you, when the Holy Spirit is come and you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and then you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and our job is to not just be filled one time, but to be filled all the time. Amen. And when we're filled all the time, then we have His presence with us all the time. Now, we may not be conscious of His presence with us all the time, but all we have to do to be conscious of His presence being with us is just, we just have to turn to Him inside of us. Wherever we are, we can speak to God. And we can sit down and pause a minute and let Him speak to us and answer our question. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? And He also speaks through us through preachers or prophets. But it's His Spirit. We need to understand that it's in our spirit. It's within our inner being, there our intuition and our conscience that we hear from God. This is how we hear from God. How many of you, since you've become a Christian, have heard from God? You've heard Him speak inside of you. It may not be a loud voice. Sometimes He says, "Be still and know that I'm God." A lot of times we don't hear from Him because our minds are so preoccupied and so busy. That's probably what happened to me this morning. My mind was so preoccupied and busy with trying to get this sermon together so I could share it with you that I didn't realize. Maybe He tried to tell me, "It's Sunday morning, Lewis, wake up." But I was so busy, I didn't hear Him. Amen? So, regardless of if the Word comes through the Bible, or if His Word comes to us through the Holy Spirit, or through preachers or prophets, or it can be sometimes through fellow believers. I've had a lot of people come into my life and speak different things to me, and it wasn't just because they were friends or because they said I had a message from God, but the Holy Spirit. When God's speaking to us, the Holy Spirit, whether it's coming through His Word or through a preacher or through a friend or through an individual or a family member or a husband or a wife, when God's speaking His Word to us, it's always quickened by the Holy Spirit, and we sense that's from God. Amen. That is a learned process. And He also speaks through us through circumstances of life. Amen? In fact, I've learned that when I'm going through either a really good, not so much when I'm going through a really good and exciting time in my life and something is really happening that's just wonderful, I give God the credit for that. I speak to Him, but I'm not asking Him for anything. I'm just thanking Him. Amen? We need to be thankful. In everything, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Well, sometimes I'm going through some hard times. The only reason I can give thanks is, a couple of reasons is, number one, I find it difficult to give thanks because I'm going through this very difficult time. And I just have to tell him, Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't really understand. I don't really like it. But I know your word says I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so you're right here with me in this circumstance or situation or whatever it is I'm going through. Amen? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. How can he? Our bodies is the habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, the other thing I do when it's not a good experience that I'm going through or circumstance, I guess I'm like everybody. I want to know why. And it's not kind of a smart aleck way that, hey, why are you taking me through this? It's, Lord, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your will. Because I am committed to you and I've surrendered to you to have your will done and to work your will in my life. So I know that I wouldn't be in this situation if it wasn't your will. And I've either done something that I shouldn't have done to get in this situation, or there's some reason you've taken me through this situation that I'm not aware of. Either way, I'm not blaming God. I'm not blaming you for anything, but please show me what it is that you're trying to teach me through this situation. I want to get out of it as soon as I possibly can. Amen? That's when I want to spend some time really talking to him and saying, hey, what's going on in this situation? And sometimes, well, I guess the way God answers our prayers and what we hear from him a lot of times is, yes, no, or be patient, wait. We find ourselves sometimes in circumstances and situations that God's, we need to hear from God, and we feel like that we need to hear from him within a specific time frame. We need an answer right now. Amen. I just want to share something with you here. I don't have that written down. I mean, sometimes I write things down and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I write them down and I don't pay any attention to what I wrote down. But I've had times when I've needed to hear from God. And I want you to understand this. I need to hear from God because it's not about myself. I need to hear from God because somebody else is depending on me to hear from God, and they need an answer, and they're looking for me to give them that answer. And I don't believe in just giving some kind of a pet answer, you know. I believe it. And so I found when it's for others, God is much quicker to answer. I've never seen him fail. I want to share just kind of, this happens, has happened a lot of times in my life, I guess because I'm in the ministry, but whatever. But I don't think it's, if we want to be used by God to help other people, we can pray about other people and their issues. And it's not that we're smart, Alex. It's in love and in kindness and gentleness and meekness. We can tell other people what it is that God wants us to tell them. But if they don't ask, don't go try to. Well, you can say, you know, if we feel led by the Spirit, we can say, well, I think the Lord told me you're going through such and such. I think the Lord told me to tell you this. Okay, that might be all right. But when we find ourselves in circumstances and situations, now we're talking about timing. We need to hear quickly from the Lord. And I said it's generally to hear about others. I came home from work. You know, I've always worked and pastored churches pretty much all my life, or since I got into ministry. And I came home from work one day and getting cleaned up and padded, prepared my supper or dinner, whatever term you want to use. And she said, "Oh, by the way, I got a call from Miss so-and-so, and there was two sisters that attended this church. They live in Aransas Pass. They were elderly sisters. To me, at that time, they were elderly. I thought 70 was old back then." Yeah, 75. You with me? I'm just kind of joking here, but anyway, her sister had called, and she'd been in the hospital for 5 days. Maybe you've heard this story before, but you're going to hear it again because I'm trying to illustrate something here. And she wanted to know, Pat said, if I would go over and see her. Because she'd been there 5 days or six. They hadn't, 5 or 6 days, they hadn't found anything wrong with her. They're just now calling me and letting me know about it. So I get dressed and I'm on the way over there. Well, while I'm getting dressed, I'm praying. I'm saying, "Lord, what's going on with this lady? Why is she in the hospital? What do you want me to say to her? How can I help her?" And so as I'm driving over there, I'm going across the causeway into Corpus Christi because she's in Spahn Hospital. And as I'm in the middle of the causeway over there, he says, "She has hate and bitterness in her life." And I'm just talking to the Lord like I'd be talking to a friend. That's the way I feel like. That's prayer. Prayer, incidentally, is communications. And it's not just a one-way street. We do all the talking. It's when you're talking to somebody, they're talking, we're listening. You know, so communications is two ways. We talk and listen. So I'm listening. I've already asked him, and I'm expecting, I need an answer because I'm going to try to minister to this lady, and she needs some help, and I don't know what to say. So when he says she has hatred and bitterness in her heart towards somebody, I just say, "Well, thanks a lot, Lord. What am I going to do? Go in there and just say, 'Well, you got hate and bitterness in your heart, and that's why you're laid up here in the hospital?' I don't know how to handle this situation." But that's all he told me. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave that up to him. Right? That's what ministry is all about. We can't only minister as he tells us, right? What to minister and how. So I go into her room, walk in there, and she's laying there, and I talked to her for a little while, and I said, "I'm going to pray for you. I have enough wisdom to say this to her. At least God gives me this much sense." And as we pray, and I'm getting ready to leave, and I said, "I'm going to pray for you," because I've been there for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, or however long we've been talking, and I said, "I want to pray for you, and while I pray for you, and we're going to ask the Lord for some things, if there's anything you need, if there's anything in your life that you know of, if you have any animosity or bitterness towards anybody, well, we want to get that out of the way. And if there's anything else that you need to talk to the Lord about, let me know. We're going to pray about it right now." But she doesn't say anything. She just says yes. So I take her by the hand. I pray for her. And I don't even remember exactly what I prayed, but I sure didn't say, "Get this bitterness and hate out of her." I didn't say that at all. I just prayed. I said, "Lord, I lift her before your throne of grace, and, you know, we pray and lift her prayers up before you," and so on and such and such. And here I am very puzzled because I'm walking out the door. After my prayer, I'm walking out the door. And nothing has been accomplished, and I'm wondering, well, what's going on? And just as I get to the door and start to turn in the hallway from the door, she says, "Brother Lewis." And I stop, and I turn around, I come back in, I say, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You know, I just remembered something. My mother had a sister, my aunt, and we both hated her with a purple passion." Now, do you understand what I'm saying to you? And I'm just saying, well, praise the Lord. I didn't have to tell her that. The Lord told her that. That just came to her mind. As far as she knew, that just came to her mind. I said, well, you would be willing to get up and go forgive her and apologize to her and tell her you're sorry, wouldn't you? And she said, yeah, but she's gone. She went home to be with the Lord. And I said, well, if she was alive, you would, wouldn't you? She said, well, yeah, sure I would. And I said, so let's just pray again, and you just tell the Lord you want to forgive your aunt. You're sorry for what you thought about her and what you said about her, and ask His forgiveness. And I said, you would do that? Well, she said, sure I would. Yeah, I'd be glad to do that. And if she was alive, you'd go talk to her. She said, yes, I would. And I'd ask her to forgive me. And I said, okay. So we prayed and I left. So the next morning I got up and went to work. I hadn't heard from her, hadn't heard from her sister, hadn't heard from anybody. I think it was the next day. I still hadn't heard from them. And so I called the hospital. And I said, is Miss So-and-so in the hospital? No, they said she was dismissed yesterday. She went home just as healthy as she could be. No problem. We couldn't find anything wrong with her. So, whether I heard from them or not, I did see them in church later. But, whether I heard from them or not, God answered her prayers and my prayers. And He did it quickly because I needed to hear from Him in that situation because I was trying to help somebody, help one of His children. Are you with me? And so I found that how we hear from God oftentimes is we're in a situation where we really need to hear from Him because we need to do something basically for somebody else. Sometimes I guess the answer to some of our prayer requests and not hearing from God is that we don't understand, but it's not in His timing. It's not that He doesn't want to answer it, and it's not that He won't answer it. It's just that for some reason or another, especially if we're praying for other people, I found out that it's not in His timing. He just says, wait. He may not say wait, but it doesn't happen. Really, I've been praying for some people on my prayer list for, I don't know, a long time now. And I have not seen my prayers answered yet as far as their salvation is concerned. But let me tell you this. When I come before the Lord, throne of God, I don't say, well, why is it taking you so long with Miss So-and-so, or why haven't you saved her? I've been praying for her 10 years. You know, what's going to... That's not the way you talk to your Heavenly Father. Right. I just say, Lord, I know You're not willing. Your word tells me You're not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And You said, we have not because we ask not, and that's not the case here. I'm asking. And I want You to save that person. And I know I'm praying. You said, if we ask anything according to Your will, You hear us. So I'm praying the word. I'm speaking His word. And I don't care if it takes 15 years or 20 years, or even if it's after I'm already gone, that person's going to be saved because God wants them to save and somebody's praying for them. Are you listening? Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So on my prayer list, and I've got about, we have a prayer book here with the names of and request of hundreds of people. And when I stand behind this pulpit on Sunday mornings, I may not literally say this, but I pray for all of these whose names are on this prayer list because they've asked us to as a church. And we are agreeing together in prayer. When I pray up here, I'm thinking that we're agreeing together. Amen? And then I have a prayer list at home I don't know how many pages it is long. A bunch of pages with a lot of families on it and a lot of names on it. 4, 5, 6 pages, however many it is. Just one little space at a time with their name and what I'm praying for them. Just brief. And here's what I pray before I even start. I pull that prayer list out of my Bible, which sits on my table, and I lay it out in front of me, and I open it up because I pray them. I call their names before God. And your name's probably on that prayer list, probably. I'm almost sure it is. And if it's not there individually, it's there as the church family. And when I pray, here's what I say. Lord, there's a lot of names on this church list. There's some on this church list, Lord, that they belong to you. They're your children. Thank you for them. Then I pray Ephesians chapter 3. Father, I'd ask that you would grant them that, how does that go for Christians? That they would be filled with your Spirit. That they would be strengthened with might by your Spirit in their innermost being. That Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith. That they would be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length and the depth and the height and the width, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that they might all be filled to the fullness of your presence. And then for the lost, I pray 2 Timothy 2:24, Father, that you would grant repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. For these that are lost on here, this, Father, that you'd grant repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will, that they would be delivered and set free in Jesus' name. And then I go through one name at a time, and I mention everybody's names and their families and their children and their grandchildren. And I left them before the throne of grace. Let me tell you something. I've seen a lot of answered prayer over the years. That just encourages me. Two things. Always pray. And secondly, don't ever give up. Keep on praying, because God's not through yet. Amen? He's still working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen? Isn't that what He says? And that's in the lost, in people that don't know the Lord. Woo! He can change their lives. Well, and He wants to. So, sometimes we're having to hear God's voice, sometimes we just need to wait. Sometimes there's maybe we're just not sincere enough. Maybe he tells us, like in some cases, if there's demon possession involved and things, and we've seen a lot of demons cast out of people and whatever, but He tells us this kind doesn't come out by prayer and fasting. You with me? So do we want that enough so that we'll pray and go without eating for 2 or 3 days or 1 day or maybe a week? Or I had an associate pastor here years ago that fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. I never did make it that long, but I went some week or so. Maybe there's unconfessed sin in our lives. Things that have hindered our, so we're not hearing from God the way we want to, especially with married people. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, likewise dwell with your wives, them, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So you have a relationship with your husband and your wife, if you're married, to get along, because God says if you're not getting along and there's animosity there, then your prayers are being hindered. And we're talking about you wanting to hear from God now, right? I'm not saying this in a condemning way, or because everybody has problems. You know, my wife, when I first married her, my goodness gracious. Of course, I didn't have a temper. I was perfect. She had a terrible temper. And she wasn't perfect as I was. Are y'all listening to me? Telling you this lie? There may be, like in Acts chapter 10, some preconceived ideas about what we're praying for certain situations and circumstances. God came and told Peter, I want you to go down to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile. In Peter's doctrine and in his understanding, gospel had never gone to the Gentiles. It was for the Jews only. God gave Peter the keys. He was the one that had to go there and open the keys to the Gentiles, or otherwise we wouldn't be saved. Are y'all with me? That was an important thing. And so when God says, I want you to go down to Cornelius' house, there's somebody praying there, and I want you to go in and talk to him and preach the gospel to him. And Peter had never heard such a thing. That was completely against his doctrine. He said, Lord, nothing unclean or unholy has ever entered into my life. Boy, I'm not having... And God said to Peter, I'm not calling them unholy. What I'm calling, whatever I'm calling you to do, you go do. And so he went down there. Well, later when you remember in Acts chapter 10, 11, I think it's 12, 13, he was called on the carpet. Did you go down and speak to the Gentiles? What happened? He had to give an account. And they were upset at him. Because up until that time, they only thought the Jews were going to be saved. Thank God he wanted to include us in all of that. Amen. Praise God. So he may be saying wait. He may be saying we need to be more sincere, fast. He may be saying we have a relationship that's not right. There may be some preconceived idea or notion that we have in our minds or in our doctrines that need to be changed. Or perhaps there's something he wants to change with regard to our thinking about him. When God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, and I'm going to close with this, I want you to go sacrifice your son, Isaac. I want you to go sacrifice him on the altar. Well, God had never told Abraham to do anything like that. And everything that God had told Abraham, Abraham did. So Abraham bundled up some sticks and made some firewood, took a couple of servants, took his son, and journeyed 3 days. So as far as Abraham was concerned, from the day that God told him that to the day he got him to that altar, his son was dead. And on the way, as they about came to that place, his son said to him, Dad, I see the sticks and I see the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham didn't, in a smart aleck way, look at him and say, well, son, I'm looking at him. Somehow he believed God was going to do something. He didn't know what it was, but he believed God, and he built the altar and tied up his son and laid him on the altar and was raising the knife and going to plunge it into his heart. And God stopped him and said, stop, whoa, you don't need to do this. And he said, look over there in that bush, and there was a ram there caught by its horns. He said, there's your sacrifice. God prepared a sacrifice. Amen. And that's what Abraham said on his way out there. God will prepare a sacrifice. When the son asked him,
I see the wood, I see the fire, where's the sacrifice? He says, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Amen? That was it. Are you with me? Now, I don't know if you enjoy, but if you want your prayers answered, and to know why they're not answered, and you're real serious about getting them answered, I'm telling you some things that God wanted me to share with you so that you could have your prayer, we could have our prayers answered. Amen. So God and spiritual people are not interested in just their own or others' opinions or ideas. Nor should we be concerned with the circumstances. All we need to know is, did you hear from God about this matter? Yes or no? If it's yes, then go do what he told you to do. Or then just wait if he told you to wait. If it's no, you hadn't heard, well then find out why. Get an answer. Next question is, what did God say to you? Yes or no? Or did he have any comments? Because a lot of times there's some comments with regards to the circumstances. God not only will tell us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, but and generally a lot of times, I want to tell you this too, a lot of times the things that he tells us to do, we can't do anyway. They're impossible. You can't change another person's life. But he can. Amen. So when he tells us what to do and how to do it and whatever, then we can trust him that I'm going to do what you've told me to do. I remember, can I share one other story with you real quick? This doesn't have anything to do with what you would call a spiritual thing, but when our youngest daughter graduated, I bought her a brand new car because I promised I would. Lord help me make a stupid promise. But I did. So I bought her a brand new Plymouth Sapphire. And she was working and she said she would pay for it. She'd make the payments on it if I bought it. So I did. Well, 6 months later, her and her little boyfriend decided, hey, we're going to get married. I already have a car. So they come. She did. Dad, I don't need this car anymore. He has a car. I wanted to say, well, gee, thanks a lot. But here I am making payments. Now, I have a payment for my, of course, I'm making good money, but I have a payment on my truck, I have a payment on my wife's car, and I have a payment now on my daughter's car. And I have a house payment, and I have credit cards and all. You know what I'm talking about. So, I do everything. I run ads in the paper. I was working out at the Naval Air Station at that time for an engineering firm as a contract Title II inspector. And anyway, I put bulletin boards, I put names, I put the advertisement out there. And about 3 months, nearly 4 months went by. And so I was on the way. I left at noon one day and told my boss I'd be back. I had a church member, one of my church members' sons was in Nueces County Jail. So I was going over there during lunchtime, took a time off to go see him. And on the way over there, I was talking to the Lord about what I was supposed to talk to him, this guy about, and what I was supposed to do and see him when I talked to him and whatever. And it was just like Jesus came and sat down in the car with me, and I was just talking to him, right, like he was right there. And we were carrying on a conversation. And so here I am thinking, while I've got him in a good mood, I'm going to ask him about this Buick. I mean, this Plymouth Sapphire. And that's when I realized he had a sense of humor because he knew what I was doing. And when I said, Lord, now about this Sapphire, he laughed. And here's what he said as he disappeared from my car. He started laughing. He said, it'll be sold by tomorrow at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. The next morning at the Naval Air Station in front of my office, I drove that Sapphire and I sold it. And I looked at my watch and it was exactly 10 o'clock. So I'm telling you, when the Bible says, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, that's God speaking His Word, and that's what you can do if you're one of God's children. God has no preferences with His children. He'll answer. He loves us all. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? And you can don't worry about anything. You can pray about everything. Amen? And if it doesn't happen right away, then just be patient. Don't go. I've just told you how to hear, how to get your prayers answered, and how to hear from God so you don't know what to do. Amen? God bless you. Let's everybody stand. I want to thank you for being here. Pray God's richest blessings upon every one of you. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. We thank you for being such a wonderful Father. We thank you for the greatest gift that could ever be given, your precious Son that you gave so that we might be saved. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and being obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Thank you, Father, for His death, burial, and resurrection, and your precious Holy Spirit in hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.